Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Andrew Seidel. He is out with his new book, The Founding Myth, Why Christian Nationalism is Un-American. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Andrew, before I read your book, I'd never heard of the term Christian nationalism before. What is it?
Christian nationalism is the idea that the United States was founded as a Christian nation, and that we need to return to that foundation. It's sort of this marriage between conservative politics and conservative religion. And it is the number one reason that Donald Trump is president today.
When we hear about the Christian nation, a lot of times the term Judeo-Christian is thrown around, and I don't know where that phrase came from. Have you ever been able to figure it out?
That was a big question that I had to investigate when I was writing The Founding Myth. You know, I wanted to ask, did Judeo-Christian principles positively influence the founding of the United States? And to do that, I first had to figure out what those principles are. And it turns out that that term really comes from a post-World War II era where to say something was Christian was to sound threatening and exclusionary. So they developed this term Judeo-Christian, even though it has these inherent contradictions, because to be Jewish is to deny the divinity of Christ, and to be Christian is to not agree with some of the tenets of Judaism. But still, the term exists and is floated today to seem more inclusive than it actually is.
And so when we look back at the founding, the founders, you argue in the book that the religion of the actual founders, when we have this argument, is irrelevant to the debate. Why?
Because even if we could say that all the founders were Jesus rose from the dead Christians, you would still have to prove that that belief influenced the founding of this nation, that it influenced their political science and the principles that they used to build the United States. And that simply can't be done. When you look at those Judeo-Christian principles, and especially the ones that are central to the Christian nationalist identity, and you compare them to the principles that the founders used to build this nation, you can see that they are thoroughly opposed to each other. The two systems differ and conflict to such a degree that it's fair to say, albeit bluntly, that Christian nationalism is un-American. And that's why I titled the book, The Founding Myth, Why Christian Nationalism is Un-American.
And does that presuppose the fact that the founders, every time they mention religion, it's in an exclusionary manner in the Constitution?
It is, and that's an incredibly important fact. And they were writing, our Constitution is completely godless. The only time it mentions religion is to exclude it from the government and to exclude the government from religion. And both of those facts were earth-shattering at the time. I mean, it is a deliberately godless document, and it was criticized for not including any reference to a deity at the time. And the implementation of state-church separation that we saw in Article 6 when they banned religious tests for public office and in the First Amendment was new. I mean, this is a quintessentially American invention. We put this idea into practice in the United States, the idea that state and church should be separate. And I think it's something that every American should be proud of.
So you also point out the Declaration of Independence. And, of course, the Declaration of Independence mentions nature's God. What is that a reference to, if not to some supreme being and really the head of Christianity?
That's an excellent question, and it's one that Christian nationalists really use to their advantage. But the full phrase is the laws of nature and of nature's God. And this is a pretty clear reference to natural law. And there are a couple different ways you can define natural law. Some believe that natural law refers to a divinity, and some believe that it just refers to the rights that we have as humans because we are human. And we happen to know that Thomas Jefferson was writing about the latter because of other things that he wrote at the time. And I do explain that in the book. And I actually go over all the different references in the Declaration of Independence that could possibly have been an invocation of a deity. And so in The Founding Myth, I go over each one of those references and show why they are not Christian or Judeo-Christian and don't really support the Christian nationalist argument.
I know when I went through school, the Declaration of Independence was held up as this great document and this all-important document. You aren't going to get a job working at the archives anytime soon, because you kind of take that apart in the book and explain that the Declaration of Independence probably isn't the great document that everybody thinks it is. Can you kind of explain your line of thinking there?
I mean, first, it is a beautifully written document, and it is incredibly important to the history of our nation. But fundamentally, the Declaration is a document of destruction. It was meant to sever our political connection with Great Britain. It's this rebellious document. So it's incredibly important, and it does, at some points, lay out a political philosophy that influenced the United States' founding. But it actually didn't found the United States as a nation, right? All it did was rebel and sever our political connection with the king. And after that, anything could have happened. We could have established another monarchy here, but we didn't. And what happened next is kind of the more important thing that we need to really look at when we're talking about what founded the United States.
Well, something else I found interesting is you went back to the biblical text, and I think it was the writings of Paul, and you compared it to what the Declaration actually did, and Paul's view of Christianity, the biblical view, was completely at odds with what the Declaration supposedly did, right?
Absolutely. I think it's completely fair to say that the Declaration of Independence is an anti-biblical document, and that's because in the Bible it specifically says that you owe a duty of obedience to every ruler on earth, because those rulers were put in place by God. And so, number one, you can't rebel against those rulers because they were put in place by God. And number two, the Declaration says something else. It says that power in our governments come from the people. And this actually worked its way into the first three words of the U.S. Constitution, we the people. And so the idea that, one, power comes from the people, and two, that people have a duty to rebel against governments when they become tyrannical, both of those stand completely opposed to the ideas in the Bible and especially in the New Testament. So it's perfectly fair to say that the Declaration of Independence is an anti-biblical document.
You had mentioned that the Christian nationalism was the main reason Donald Trump got elected president, and I think back to his gaffe with 2 Corinthians versus 2 Corinthians. How did Christian nationalists elect Donald Trump president?
The number one factor that determined whether or not somebody was a Trump voter in the 2016 election was not political party, it was not their particular religion, and it wasn't their socioeconomic status or anything like that. It was whether or not they believed the United States was a Christian nation. Now, of course, there's a huge overlap there with Republican Party and with evangelicals, but the number one factor was, is this person a Christian nationalist? If so, that is the most likely indicator that they will vote for Donald Trump. And you're absolutely right. He was inept when it came to talking about this kind of thing on the campaign trail for a long time. And he's getting better and better and better at employing the Christian nationalist rhetoric and at taking advantage of the Christian nationalist identity.
As I read this book, and I hearken back to the old George Carlin bit where he really dismantled the Ten Commandments, you went through in a more intellectual way, dismantling the Ten Commandments as comparing it to the Constitution. Can you sort of explain, just in general terms, how the Ten Commandments don't even fit in with any of the tenets that founded this country?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's one of the most important claims that we constantly hear from the Christian nationalist. When you push back on the idea that we're founded as a Christian nation, one of the claims you always get is, well, look at the Ten Commandments. We were founded on the Ten Commandments. And if you do that, if you look at the Ten Commandments, and this is something I do in the founding myth, you see that they had no influence on the founding of the United States because those principles in there are so opposed to the principles on which the United States was founded. I mean, and you don't even have to look farther than the First Amendment, which says, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. I mean, right there, that is a complete repudiation of the religious liberty that every American holds so dear. It's saying you have to worship this God, and that is absolutely a fundamental principle that we would not allow into the law in the United States. So right there, from the first commandment, you've got a violation of religious liberty.
When we look at how Americans think about Christian nationalism and this claim that they throw out that we're founded on these Christian principles, is this a lack of understanding of religion, of government, or of both?
I do think it is both. Christian nationalism is this incestuous marriage between conservative politics and conservative religion, and it fails on both fronts, and it's really amazing the way they are trying to rewrite history. And to me, it is it's incredibly more threatening than people realize, because they have this well of lies. They talk about the four references to God in the Declaration of Independence. They mention In God We Trust, One Nation Under God. They talk about all the different Judeo-Christian principles that supposedly influence this nation. And those lies are driving public policy. Education, immigration, civil rights, judges are deciding cases now based on these lies and myth, and not just in the culture war issues. I mean, put simply, these lies are destroying our country. They're gnawing away at our liberty, and I think that we, the people, have a duty to stand up to those lies and, more importantly, to the bullies pushing them.
All right, the book is The Founding Myth, Why Christian Nationalism is Un-American. It's by Andrew Seidel. The book's available now wherever your books are sold. Andrew, by the way, is with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, so you can check out that website, ffrf.org. But more importantly, go to Amazon or another site and buy this book, because this is a fantastic look at history of religion in this country and our founding, and it's just a fantastic book. Andrew Seidel, thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. 'Cause there ain't no doubt.